Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and our guest this week developed her style of joke telling, which she describes as sly yet goofy, in Atlanta, where she was raised, but is now based in Brooklyn, New York, where Time Out labelled her a local fixture, which I love because it's what you'd call an incredible performer like her, but also an interesting street lamp. Our guest is also known for her Muppets obsession and being the oracle of any office she's ever worked in. So please welcome the person who I think has all the answers, Shalewa Sharp.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
I'm very good.
That's good.
Thank you for sitting through the mistakes of that intro that we will edit out.
Oh, okay. I mean, you made mistakes on simple words yet got my name right. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Your brain's in the right place.
Good. Well, yes. I mean, I do find this fascinating, though, the way people get names wrong so much. I grew up in Birmingham. It's a very diverse place. I've also worked in a call center before. So I've had a lot of practice with names, but also it's kind of simple. Like, we've got a guest coming on later in the week called Sakisa. And I'll be really interested to hear if she has trouble with people pronouncing her name, because it seems like very simple to me.
Yeah, I've found that children get it immediately because they usually hear it first. Adults are reading it, and so they think I've done something wrong. Like, certainly that's not what she meant to write down. So they'll substitute letters, whatever they think I'm going for.
Or just sometimes they just substitute a whole word. They're just like,
yeah,
Sharon,
just like,
could that be Sharon?
Yeah, that can't be. I remember being in a waiting room at a doctor's office and hearing a couple of nurses struggle with the name. And one nurse said, well, she spelled her name wrong. And I thought, well, I am a grown up. I've been with it all my life. I think I probably got it right. I probably spelled my name right, but you know, you could be right too. Maybe the Shalewas in whatever podunk town you live in spell it differently, but I'm willing to bet that is not the case. Yeah, I'm happy you got the name right, and you know, let the rest fall as it may.
Fair enough. All right. And so first off, we've got a dating story from you.
Yes. Okay. So I don't date much, and I'm not 100% sure why that is, except that I am probably a little standoffish and very closed off. And I also take no guff, and I have high standards that I don't even realize that I have, but others can sense it. So I'm putting all of that out there when what I think I'm putting out there is a cute picture. But apparently what others are seeing in the photo is completely different. So this actually was a weird spur of the moment date, where I was walking in Manhattan. And now when you're walking the streets of New York, you don't necessarily want to make eye contact with anyone, which I'm all for, because usually I'm looking down at the ground to make sure I'm not stepping in vomit or feces. So if your eyes aren't down there, then we're fine. But in this case, I happened to be crossing a street, and a young man was crossing the street, and we accidentally made eye contact. And I just kind of gave him like the hip hop head nod and kept moving. And I got a block down, and someone tapped me on the shoulder, and it was this young man. And he said, I'm sorry, I think that you, and in my head, I'm thinking, oh, he's seen me do comedy around. He's about to compliment my comedy. Look at this. People off the street are like, hey, I saw you in the basement of this bar, you know, a year ago or something. So I'm setting up for, I think I saw you at such and such place. So I'm like, okay, here we go. And he goes, I think you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And it knocked me back on my heels, but I also went, all right, kid, what are you collecting money for? Like a basketball team or something? Like, what is this about? And I said, uh-huh, all right, thanks. And he's like, no, I never stop and say this kind of thing, but would you like to go somewhere for coffee? And I'm like, why would I want to do that? And then a part of my brain said, well, Shalewa, I think your horoscope today said take a chance. And so I went, all right, let's go. Come on, let's go get coffee. I think there's a Starbucks or something this way. So we went to get coffee, but first we stopped by, there was like a hardware store next door, and he needed to go in there because he needed to get a snake to clean out his drain. His shower drain was clogged with hair a lot. And so he needed to get this little tool in order to pull all the clogs out. And I went, already this date is, we're like fourth date level. I'm going with you to pick up tools.
Is that attractive? Is that an attractive thing to bring someone to?
I find it odd, but also I'm like, well, this is New York, right? This is what, if I understand correctly, this is what, I don't know, Carrie or Samantha would do on a date on Sex in the City, right? They'd go and buy a snake drain with a dude and then get coffee afterwards. This is why you move to the city, to feel alive. Should also mention right now, this guy is completely bald, shaved head, completely bald. So that didn't even ring a bell. So then he buys a snake. We go into the coffee shop next door. He orders coffee. I order tea. We sit down and there's the whole, what do you do? And he says, well, I actually, you know, and I'm just like, I work the front desk at a clinic. And he's like, well, I actually have a little bit of an odd job. I keep weird hours and I don't talk about it much. And I said, okay, well, what is it? And he said, well, I'm a sub. And I went, well, all right. There are many ways to go with that. So I'm just going to check. Do you mean a substitute teacher? And he said, no. And I said, okay, so then I've got another meaning of sub in mind. Is it closer to that? And he says, yes, I allow women who work on Wall Street to lock me up in cages in their apartments. And I said, that is wildly specific. But again, no red flag. I'm just thinking, well, this is New York, right? I mean, absolutely. When you go buy a drain tool with a guy, he's going to be, he's going to have that type of job. That's absolutely the kind of person who stops you on the street.
Does anything surprise you anymore living there?
I keep rationalizing everything. So I'm like, okay, so what's that job like? So he tells me about it. He's got a couple of clients. They're always women who work on Wall Street. He just kept saying on Wall Street. And I'm like, wow, no other powerful women? Or only, he's like, yeah, only the financial. I have a couple of friends who work in the financial world. And I met one woman and she was just like, you know, I'd like to tie you up one day. And I thought, yeah, sure. So she did. And then the next time she gave me money and I was like, well, this could be a business. And then she told her friend about me. And I was just like, all right, word of mouth, mom and pop operation. Okay, great, great, great. And I'm like, so this is enough for you to pay for your apartment by yourself? And he's like, no, I've got some roommates, but you know, I keep some odd hours and whatever. And I said, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, how do you date? Like, how do you go on dates if sometimes you're locked up in buildings? And he's like, well, it's a little tough, but you know, I have to find women who understand what it is I do and that it's just a job and that I get no sexual pleasure and that kind of stuff. And I went, uh-huh. Okay. All right. Great. Word. Just taking it all in and not really judging. Cause I mean, I know people need that service. Because I worked in a porn store for like 6 years. So I know, you know, I'm like, you kind of caught the right one, honey. But at least who's willing to listen to you talk about it. And so we're leaving the coffee place and he's like, let's go to a movie like right now. And I said, I'm old. I don't. That was all the spur of the moment you're going to get out of me for like a month. So, you know, give me your number and we can figure it out that way. So that was the first and last time I saw him in person. Any other time I talked to him on the phone and he would call at weird hours because that's when he got his phone back after getting off of work from being locked up in a basement or something. And then one time I tried to call him and he was busy, but it sounded like there were a lot of children around him. And I'm like, ooh, what job is that? Right? And he said, I got to call you back. I'm finishing a job. I got to call you back. And I went, well, that's weird. And so he called me back about 20 minutes later. He's like, well, I got to tell you, I'm married with two kids. And I went, huh? So does that mean you're not even a sub? And he's like, no. And I said, so you made up a job where you got locked up in cages by powerful women and you're actually just married. And he said, yeah. And I'm like, I don't even.
Is that a metaphor? Oh, like, where do you even get that imagination? Like, what do you?
Yeah, I'm like, what does your wife do? And why do you feel, you know, how old are your kids? I wanted to ask these questions, but I was just like, you got a lot to work out, fella. You got a lot to work out. And then I remembered, oh, he's pulling all his wife's hair out of the drain because that's where all the hair in the drain's coming from, his wife. Mm-hmm. And then it all made sense. So I never talked to or saw him again, but that was just so odd. That was just so odd. Such a random thing to do. Such a random thing to do.
The imagination, but maybe that's where you're at if you're feeling very trapped in your life. You just have this whole other existence in your imagination. Coming up with that, and there were definitely red flags there, but I'm not really sure if it would have gone any differently if you'd seen them.
Right, yeah.
Because he could have made anything up.
Any story would have been fine.
I would have believed him immediately if he said, oh yeah, the women, they also get me to do chores like clean their drains. I'd be like, okay, sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, why wouldn't
Why not?
Yeah, you're a sub. You do what they say. I'm a little familiar with that. I get what the job entails. But no, it's just your wife, and you just agreed to love her in front of God and everyone. But you're still trying to pull women on the street. It was very annoying. And I was like, it would have gone better if you had just said you had seen me do comedy.
What an experience. And then you mentioned the 24-hour porn store. So when you were dealing with people in there, did you find many of them wanted to talk to you and justify the porn they were choosing? Was there much conversation or more in and out job?
No, actually, it was a very safe space. In order to be there for a long time, you had to either withhold judgment or be as judgment-free as possible. And I usually opt for judgment-free. I mean, in life, I talk a lot of crap about a lot of people, but it comes from a place of love. I just want you to be happy. I just enjoy talking crap about people, myself included. But for the most part, I'm not here to yuck your yum. So usually with customers, you know, you get a lot of repeat customers. You get to figure out by what they were renting. And again, this was 20-something years ago. So these were people coming in renting VHS cassettes or renting DVDs as that made the switch over. Like a Blockbuster, but for dirty movie. You know, you get to figure out kind of what they like. So when they come in, you could go, hey, if they were nice enough, you could go, hey, I saved you a copy of this thing. Look at it and see if it's a thing that you want. And they're, oh, thank you. But anyone who kind of came in and wanted to, like, talk shop, usually they would find a male employee to talk shop with. They had, you know, but the women who worked there, they usually were a little scared of us or they talked to us about something else. But for the most part, I thought a porn store is kind of like the feel of a library where they're very quiet and studious and they've really done their research on what they like. And they're trying to find that and things related to it and maybe branch off occasionally. But for the most part, they're quiet. And then we're in the back or behind the register just making a lot of noise, just joking around and whatnot. Whereas a strip club is kind of like church. You know, sometimes people are very loud as they're praising the dancers. Sometimes they're very quiet. There are offerings, all of that kind of thing. But yeah, so it was more of a library. Occasionally we'd get into conversations about that, but nothing too deep. Yeah. I don't know if they were scared of judgment or it took them a while to feel comfortable, but you'd have to be somewhat friendly with them to even have that kind of conversation.
There's an obvious vulnerability to it and also the feeling that maybe you guys know too much. Because I have a friend that works in a sex toy store and she says very similar there. She's had a lot of customers, male customers, say that she's got like a very aggressive sexual energy and specific feedback like that. And she's like, I work in a shop. I don't know what sexual energy they're getting, but it's like presumed.
Yeah, just by being there, it's like, oh, you must be wild. And I'm like, no, I have bills to pay and they are hiring. So it's a very simple job with hours I like. That's it, basically. But yeah, they're definitely, I think a lot of the customers, a lot of guys were a little scared because even if you were somewhat chill, you still seem to be over the top because they were so quiet. And I think there is always some sort of fear that you're going to tell on them. But it's like a lawyer client privilege type thing. You know what I mean? We're not going to tell on you. So if we ran into them in public, I would never speak to any of the customers in public. I would let them determine how, if there was any sort of interaction at all, and how that would go. And sometimes they would speak, and then sometimes they would just ignore you, and you're like, great, you know. Sometimes they yell at you for late fees, all kinds of things. But I let them determine it, because I'm not trying to call anybody out.
Right, and ultimately, that's your job.
Yeah.
They have not rented the worst thing you've seen that day.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're just, you know, taking them in and giving them back out. We're not there to analyze you.
And so in your comedy, you've talked about dating as a fool's errand, which I often mm-hmm. relate to at certain points in my dating experience. And also that you're not even sure why you do it sometimes because you maybe don't like people enough.
Yeah.
Did that job influence that? Did you come out of it liking people more or less?
I think I've been like a crotchety old man since I was like 15. So I already was just a little bit like, you young people. And it's like, you're a teenager. And I'm like, yeah, but y'all doing frivolous things. I'm not entirely sure what it is I have against people. I love watching them. You know, they're hilarious, doing all kinds of ridiculous things for my enjoyment. I don't necessarily let folks in easily. I've been told that I'm a bit of a tough nut to crack. But, you know, I also just don't want a lot of bullshit around me. And that is what a lot of people seem to traffic in. I know that from watching them. So it just sometimes it seems like more trouble than it's worth. Anytime I think that where I'm like, dating is more trouble than it's worth. Someone's like, well, what about a nice, loving relationship? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, there's that. With a loving touch of another person. Okay. But, you know, you also can power through that. After 2 years, you won't even notice it. You won't even notice the celibacy. So once you figure that out, and if you know how to masturbate correctly, you should be okay. The porn store, it didn't make me like people less, but it definitely made me kind of realize more of a retail way than just it being porn, the kinds of people there are out there. And so when I'm dealing with folks in the world now, I can kind of tell, because you're dealing with people who are kind of vulnerable in the porn store, but they put on a front out in the world, I can kind of tell based on their fronts, like, oh, you would be the kind of person who probably you're into this and you would say this at the register, or you would treat employees this way and that kind of stuff, which is stuff you can figure out if you work food service or if you work any kind of retail. If there's something where you have to serve a person in some way, you figure out kind of quickly what the world is like when they don't think you're watching them. So that gave me that skill, but in a broader sense, where not just like, oh, that guy's a bit of an asshole. It's like, oh, that guy's a bit of an asshole, and he likes milkmaid movies or something. You know what I mean? You can pinpoint it a little bit more than if you just worked retail. But yeah, I don't know why I don't get into dating more. Anytime I go on an app, I take it off of my phone within 72 hours. I don't believe that algorithm. I don't believe it works. I feel like I haven't exhausted all of my face-to-face opportunities. And then COVID arrived and I'm like, oh, I guess maybe I did. maybe those are all gone. So now to meet someone, which right now is definitely a fool's errand. I don't know what, like, I feel like we all need to take this time and get to know ourselves in a way to stay strong for whatever happens when the world opens back up. Because I don't think we're going to be ready for that, really, if we're still swiping on the swip swipes. But looking for someone for fun or profit, I don't know how people are going to do that. But yeah, I don't trust whatever the apps say, because it turns out people lie online to look good. And I'm out here trying to tell the truth about myself like a sucker. It's so stupid. It just seems so stupid. But then again, you know, I know happy couples who are married because of a swipe.
Yeah, apparently they're out there. It's just madness to me. I'm like, are they using different apps? I don't know. is the one? I've tried so many. But you're right about like the pandemic. It's a wild experience. And I do wonder when we come out of this, if any of us are going to have any clue. So you get some points because that is so true.
Oh, yay!
And then I'm interested with what you said about being like a hard nut to crack, because I relate to that strongly. I think I'm not very good at letting people in, but then I've also had a good deal of bullshit dating history that makes that feel very justified.
Oh, no. Yeah, we might have that in common. If I had someone in my dating background where it was just like, that's the one that got away and I absolutely messed that up and I need to be better, then sure. And I can't say that every breakup has been the other person's fault, because if you do that, you're just a huge red flag walking around. Like, really? Nothing? Nothing was your fault. So I definitely take more time than necessary to think about where I went wrong and things. But when I deal with someone and it doesn't work out, I immediately I pull down everything. I pull down the gates. We're building a moat. Like, nope, we're not doing that again. That was a waste of time. Why did we even do that? And then it takes a minute before I encounter someone where I think about, well, maybe I could date them. But then I have to go through a whole scenario. Like, can you date them? Can you see yourself having casual sex with them? Imagine what they're going to look like hovering on top of you. You know, like, I really try to think it through. Like, it's a little scary. Could you hold their hand? Did their hands look clean? Or do you just think they're funny? Because that happens a lot in the comedy world. It could be just someone I think is very funny and I want to be with them, but mostly I just want to suck their talent out of their, you know, like in a Madonna always hanging out with young artists kind of way. You just kind of come in, suck their talent, and then you put it out in a lacklustery way, not at all like your best work. But
I wasn't ready for such a direct sending for Madonna in the middle of that.
God bless her. I mean, look, I love her, but you gotta, come on, it's okay. You can do jazz classics now. We don't have to always be on the dance floor with her. But anywho, that's a whole other issue I have, which I would bring up at a date and then look at the person's face just fall as they're like, why do you have such strong opinions about that? And I'm like, see, this is why I'm alone, because no one goes there with me. Yeah, so I lock it down, but then I try to figure out if I can live with that person and have that person around me enough. And then if I've decided, yeah, I probably could, without ever checking to see if the person is interested. So now it's like, all right, so now how do I get this person interested? All right, what do I have to do? Do I got to put my titties in the grid on Instagram? Like, what am I supposed to do? How do you subtweet in a good way? You know, if it's a comic, do I got to show up to his stupid shows now? Like, how do I do this math? And, you know, more often than not, I just get tired at that point. Like, why do I have to change? Why didn't they just go ahead and find me amazing and then just say, I find you amazing? I'm like, great. I don't have to do all that work. So I'm a lot. I am quietly a lot, because if you look at me or deal with me, you'd never know that those are the gears that are turning in my head. And what comes out is just me being like, yeah, sure, whatever. But I'm doing all kinds of math in my head to see if it's worth me filling the moat back in with dirt and lifting the gates. And then if I've done all of that work where I'm like, okay, I'll let you in, and it doesn't work out, well, now I'm angrily digging a moat again. Like, I'm definitely not letting anyone in.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So any of the last, like, two or three guys that I've dated, they don't even know how much work it was for me to let them in. Whoever the next poor sap is doesn't even know, because it's going to be like post a breakup that really hurt me and a pandemic. I mean, I pray for that soul, and he may not show up, and that's fine. I don't blame him. You know what I mean? We're going to have to be a lot nicer to everybody and more understanding after all of this. So that's what I'm trying to realize. Like, you can't be hard on people, because we're all going through a thing. We're going through a collective thing and an individual thing, and that can play out in many different ways. So you just have to be a little more accepting of what happens in the aftermath. But, you know, you still gonna have to open those gates, though. And you hate, oh, you don't even know where the key is for those.
Oh, yeah, I can relate to that. And I think something that I'm realizing nowadays that I do so much, to use your metaphor, I'm kind of like half opening up shop, filling up a part of the moat. You know, yeah. And it takes me a while to fully commit. And I've realized only recently how quite the opposite way around to a lot of people that is. You know, so one thing that I'm not is I'm not risk averse. I'll go on dates. I'll try out relationships with people. You know, for me, often we've gone on a few dates and I've made my mind up. You know, I've done, like you, I've done the calculations and I'm like, okay, we can give it a go. But I think for a lot of people, them making it official with somebody is when they open a lot more of their walls. And right, so that's the point where they can get really hurt. Whereas for me, I'm kind of like, okay, we'll try a relationship and we'll see how it goes. So I gradually am opening my walls. And so then if we break up within 2 weeks, I'm halfway shut already and they've got to, you know, reset.
I've done that. I think with the last one, we were together for a while and then he broke it off because he decided I was too hardcore about it. And I was like, I don't even have a toothbrush at your place. What do you mean? You know, it's been 6 months. You offered to give me a key to your apartment. And I said, no, we don't need, that's a lot. We're still feeling things out, you know. So he broke that off. But then after a few months, wanted to give it a shot again. And so I definitely was not all in on the second time because I'm like, hey, you already hurt me once. So, you know, we'll see what happens. So when he broke it off that second time, I was angry because I was like, man, I was giving you a second shot. I was hoping that this would go differently. So yes, I wasn't completely open, but I was just seeing what was going to happen. And now you do this. I wanted you to be better. I wanted you to be better.
Right. But also I think, you know, that makes sense because you're still trying to be appropriate with it. You know, it might sound cold to some people if they're very the opposite way to us, but really we're also trying not to like fully burden the person. So it's like, we'll come into this relationship gradually. We won't give you, you know, that much responsibility over our emotions, that much influence before it seems like the right time.
Right.
And then I've certainly had it, and it sounds like maybe you have too, where that kind of sort of logical, methodical approach at the time to the other person can seem a bit closed, or they kind of want you to move faster. And then they break it off and then they come back because they're dating other people that are very opposite that, that go in fast and hard, and they realize, oh, actually, I kind of liked you the setting the pace for me. I kind of, yeah, that was sort of, you were consistent.
Right, yeah. When someone peeps me out, they're not sure, but when they go away and then come back for the re-peep, that's usually when I shine. So I shine on a re-peep, maybe not initially what you're thinking, but then after you've gone back out and you're like, oh, wow, this is a little bit of a mess. That's usually when folks are like, oh, well, let's see what she's doing. But, you know, unfortunately, by then I'm like, oh, I kind of hate everyone now. No offense, but I don't have it in me to really open myself up. So I know I need to work on being more open. And that's something, you know, it's amazing the things that you were going to work on before COVID hit. There were so many things. I was going to learn how to swim or whatever, and then a pandemic. But yeah, that's a thing where I know I was mentally like, I need to just figure out how to be open to things. And then this happened and I was like, well, I don't think online is going to be the way. So I don't know if I trust that. People save things. Everything can be screenshot. That's also not, you know, I'm an old lady, I'm in my 40s. So that's not necessarily a medium I feel comfortable in trying to figure that out. I'm a late early adopter to things. So I read about it when early adopters read about things. And then I go, huh, well, let me see how many people.
How this plays out.
Well, yeah, how fall apart on the first go. And then I'll sign up for like the second or third go. And, you know, so that's usually where I fall and that kind of stuff. So, but now it's getting to where some of the online things, it's not necessarily intuitive to me. So I'm like, I wasn't raised in such a way where this is the logical next step on how to live life online or in. I don't understand because I'm in that age range where, you know, I started with landlines and now no one even wants to talk on the phone anymore. But there's an app for when you want to talk on a like a group phone call or something. But no one wants to do a one-on-one phone call. And I'm like, but that's how else am I going to get to? And so many things in between. And I'm like, I don't even know anymore. Why are we even still swiping? I feel like there should be it's been long enough for the swiping also.
Yeah, we're done now. Enough of that.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a better way. And, you know, unfortunately, we're where we are. But man, when things open back up and people can meet face to face, I am scared. I am scared of what that's going to look like. Yikes.
Yeah,
we're going to wish for swiping again. I think we're going to, I wish I could vet these dudes again. But now they're just knocking on every door. Just like, hey, anyone want to hook up? Nope. What about this? They're going to be everywhere. What a scary thought.
Thank you for that.
Can't wait. I'm so excited.
I think I'm going to give you a point for turning this episode into a horror show briefly now.
Yay!
But I think you're right, and I agree that it's actually very difficult to know how to be open with dating apps anyway, because I have the same thing of people send me all kinds of messages, and I think, if this ever got out, if people ever knew you said these things.
Right. Yes. I like a conversation, and it's hard to have a conversation when you're three lines in and already someone's like, what that mouth do? And I'm like, what that mouth do? We barely talked. I don't know. Like, we just got here, you know? That's like going to a restaurant with someone and you sit down and they give you the menus, and as you're trying to decide and you look over, like, what are you thinking about? They already have their genitals just on a plate. And you're like, well, that's not what I wanted.
there's honesty. I didn't ask for, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted something to drink.
But no, I agree. How do you get to know somebody? And I do find it where I think oftentimes people feel like they're getting to know me really well. Whereas for me, messaging isn't even real communication yet. Until I'm using my voice, I don't really feel like I'm actually talking to somebody.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because I don't know your tone. And I mean, you can sprinkle as many emojis or GIFs into things as you want. I still don't know your tone. And that works well for nefarious people who are trying to get over on many folks, is that you never hear the tone. If the whole relationship is text-based, then when you're like, well, what about you wrote this, and they can say something else. And so for everybody who's out there gaslighting, I mean, text messaging has been a godsend, you know, and it's just raised like a generation of faster of how to, you know, really string folks along through gaslighting and no one ever really hearing what you're saying and all that kind. I remember dating a dude and we were trying to talk. He liked to switch up his tones and do all that kind of stuff a lot. And I was like, oh, I think you're gaslighting me. And I'm like, I mean, you might be good at it, but I also see that that's what's happening. So I don't know how good at it you are. And I said, so we only talk in person or on the phone now. We don't do text messages. That's not what we do. And he's like, well, how can you even say that? And I'm like, that is like,
I did. Boom.
Yeah, that's how it is. And if you're not okay with that, I think I'm probably okay with letting it go. Like, that's fine. We can not see each other, you know, if you're unable to let me hear how you say what you want to say.
Yeah.
Or see how it looks on your face. Yeah.
For sure. And I think on the flip side of that, there can be such a temptation to perceive it in the way that you want as well. Because it's so subjective, you can put a tone on something. And so I've definitely made the mistake of getting really into somebody over messages. And then I'm telling a friend about them. And I'm like, you know, they're just so funny. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I'll read you some messages. And that is a mistake. So then I'm there being like, oh, shit, do any of these sound funny out loud? And it might be that I'm just projecting humor, or I'm just pleased to hear from them. And so therefore I'm perceiving it is a good message, whereas actually I'm just a bit lonely. And then I try reading it out to a friend and I'm like, oh, I'm never doing that again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the
this
that's
person
the
is actually
thing.
Straight trash.
Yeah. That's the other thing. The reason that, and you may find this as well, the reason that I am so closed off is because I'm a huge romantic. Of course I am. I'm cynical as hell. I don't think anything's going to work out, because what I want to work out, I know isn't possible because I'm a huge romantic. So I'm already like, oh boy, you know, so I will read all kinds of stuff into it. Oh, you send a well-timed, hey, what's up? I'm picking out colors for the what? You know what I mean? Like, I've gone far, but I also know I need to reel it back. But it's just, you know, it's battles. And I think that I'm doing a good job at hiding being a real romantic, and I may not be, which may be why guys are like, yikes. So now I'm at the point where first date, I'm like, hey, look, apparently I'm intense. I don't know what it is that makes me intense, but the feedback, the comment cards that I'm getting from people is that I'm intense. So please know that going in. I don't know what I'm doing, so I don't know how it's going to happen, but if it happens, please don't be shocked and amazed like, I thought you were a chill girl. Because trust me, no one chill would say on a first date, apparently I'm intense.
Mm.
And let's move on from there. If that doesn't scare you off, then we can see where it goes from here. But yeah, that's a thing that I've been doing lately. And I don't know if that helps or not.
I think, I don't know, because I've had similar experiences and I don't know if it helps, but at least it maybe kind of like helps clue the person in a little bit more. You know, they maybe go on less dates with you before realizing. Because one thing I try and do is not get too conscious of like how I'm coming across and try and warp that. You know, I try and really resist the temptation to be this version of you that you're assuming this stranger will like, because that makes no sense to begin with. And instead, I try and even go a little bit the opposite way of like, actually, maybe I'll be a little bit more opinionated than normal, just so they know what they're getting into.
Yeah, for sure. They need to know right away. Because otherwise, because again, it's a whole don't waste my time thing.
Yeah. And how long do you keep up that facade before they realize the real you? So
exactly,
I think it's...
Yeah. You also have to adjust it on based on what you think they're going to be like. And then they change because they're also shifting because they're trying. So now you're like, oh, wait, I didn't think you would be like this. So now how do I morph into something that will be agreeable? It's a lot.
it's exhausting. So I think your method sounds better of just trying to go in and be more yourself. That's what I try and do. So yeah, points for that. And then we will look at you beaming.
I'm so happy.
You've never received points that make this little sense have you?
Yeah, no. No, all points have made sense. Nonsensical points I'm here for. Absolutely.
And so the next part of this weird format we have here on this show is we'll come into our rules of the game. So do you have something you try and live by with dating or something you're working on, something you'd recommend for people when we are out there again?
I mean, I really think it's that. It's the whole let them know up front kind of thing. And I mean, that if that is your nature, if you enjoy the whole game of it, the push and pull, the trying to figure it out, the dance of it all, definitely do that. But if you are someone who needs a little more, some sort of rooted, like, where does this go kind of thing, like immediately, which is fine because there are lots of people who are like that. I would say let that be known sooner rather than later. If you're not chill, don't try to be chill. Let whatever flag it is you have fly. Either it's a freak or a type A, whichever one it is, let it fly, because there's someone who's going to see that flag and go, yep, I got one of those as well, and find you. But I think who has the time, but lots of people have the time and they enjoy the dance.
I love that I could hear you getting exhausted even whilst you explained that. You were just getting exhausted with the idea of it.
Like, but you know, if your flag is a dance card, go ahead, send it up. But if it's a, hey man, I'm going to give you 2 months. And then, you know, if we aren't really clicking in a good way, I'll probably be out. Say that too. Say if you're loyal. Say if you are just like a one person type of person, or if you want to date around. Just be honest, and be honest with yourself about it too, even more so than being honest with the other person. Be honest with yourself about it. Try to express it in a way that doesn't scare people, but definitely know that that is who you are. Otherwise, what a mess. What a mess. Oh, I'm going to see you all crying on your Instagram stories. I don't want to see that. So yeah, think about that. That's probably my rule.
That's a very thorough rule. So some more points right there. And I've got one as well I've been thinking about in terms of something we mentioned earlier of me reading out texts to people and realizing that's a mistake. But one thing it did teach me is my rule of the game can be read the text out loud to yourself, because that's a good way of undermining you projecting this person's wonderful, everything they say is hilarious. Or equally, sometimes you think, oh, this person's a bastard, why do they say these things to me, and you read it out and the message is, hey.
Yeah,
and it doesn't sound so complicated out loud.
Yeah, that's a very good rule. That's really good. Yeah, definitely do that. Get it out of your head.
Thank you. Well, I've learned a lot. I love it whenever I get a guest on and I realize we're very similar in our approach. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that I'm realizing I've got what seems like quite a stereotypical, like, comedian approach to relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like people might find me funny, but will they want to date me?
Yeah, that's a whole thing as well.
That is the question. Boy. But we'll wrap up there. If people want to go find you online, experience your work, where should they go?
Oh, I'm on pretty much all of the social medias with the same name, @SilkyJumbo. all one word, traditional spelling. And I have a very neglected website, shalewasharp.com. That's shalewasharpe.com. And maybe I'll update it tonight. What else am I doing? Yeah, that's where you can find me. And I'm usually pretty good at updating things, except TikTok. I don't understand it yet, but I'm there. I just don't understand it yet.
Yeah, you're feeling it out. I think that's fair. Yeah. I think TikTok seems exhausting. I'm like, all those 1 minute videos that people spend a whole day making, I don't know about that yet.
Yeah, so, you know, but I'm definitely on Twitter a lot and I'm on Instagram heavy. Very short.
Yeah, the retro ones. And I love your website. Yeah. It is very your voice, which I appreciate. You'll put up a picture of a flyer and then there'll be a whole little dialogue about why you chose this flyer. And it's a deep dive that nobody asked for, but maybe we all need it.
Yeah, that's pretty much my steez, is no one asked for it, but you're going to get these Muppet facts if you stick around long enough.
Cool. All right, we'll wrap up there and we'll do the Patreon bit.
Great.
Thank you for listening. For more content, including extended ad-free episodes, you can join our Patreon, linked in the episode description. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta, with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet. Speak to you next Friday.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.